on Zayin Amud Beis, and we are now done with the eggs, and we're done with the little interlude there about chametz, and we're now at the other end of the chicken's life. If you remember that in the Mishnah, way back when, on Daf Beis, we started out with the discussion about the egg, and because it was such a novelty that we appeared to have Beis Hillel being strict and Beis Shammai being lenient, we also brought other debates between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, in which Beis Hillel appears to be the strict one. So the Mishnah had talked about a case in which someone is shechting on Yom Tov, and he needs to do the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, of covering the blood, but he doesn't have dirt ready. So what we said in the Mishnah was, HaShochei Chayav Of B'Yom Tov, if you shecht a chaya or an oaf, not a behemoth, because the mitzvah of covering the dam applies specifically to either chaya, like a deer, or a bird. But if you shecht them on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai Omrim Yachbor Badek Ervi Yachaseh. Beis Shammai says you have to dig with a spade and then cover the blood. And the Gemara is going to talk about what this deker, what this spade is that you're using, and how it's different from digging with a shovel. And Beis Hillel says, Lo Yishchot. No, Beis Hillel says, you can't shecht. Elim Kein Hayelo Afar Muchen Mibod Yom, unless you have dirt ready from before Yom Tov. Now, what's going on? What's wrong with just digging a hole and getting dirt? Is this an issue of digging a hole? Is this an issue of muktzah? You know, that's something we have to talk about in the Gemara. But that's the way it's presented. As Beis Hillel is saying, no shechting unless you have the dirt. And then the closing line was, Umodim, they agree, she'im shachat, if you already shechted, she'yachbor ba'deker b'yachasa, then dig with the spade, cover the blood, she'efer kira muchanhu, because the ashes of an oven are ready for use, which doesn't seem to connect at all with digging with anything, and we don't know what that's talking about, so that the Gemara is going to have to explain. But that was the line in the Mishnah. So machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai as to what you do, on the face of it, it sounds like a machlokas as to what you do if you haven't yet shechted. Right? That's the way it sounds, because Beis Hillel says don't shecht. The implication is you haven't done so yet. It's going to be anything but clear, but that's the way it sounds like from the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to explain to us why it's not clear. We are on Zayin Amud Beis. If you see where the lines get wide and you go down from there, the end of the fifth wide line is the beginning of the Mishnah quote, HaShochet. HaShochet Chayvot B'Yom Tov and so on. So the Gemara says, the word HaShochet indicates Di'eved Im L'chatchila Lo, indicates that we're talking about B'Di'eved. After you have already shechted, now the question is, what do you do? In other words, this is a point of grammar. When you say, one who shechts, the implication is that he already did it. Right? He's not coming to you to ask, should I shecht? Because if he was, you would say to him either yishchot or lo yishchot. When you say hashochet, the implication is someone has done an act of shechita, and the question is, what do I do now? That's the implication of the opening line and of the opening word of the case. However, Ema Seifa, look at the end where it said, Beis Hillel omrim lo yishchot. Beis Hillel said, don't shecht. Well, if Beis Hillel is saying, don't shecht, Michlal de Tana Kama, that means that the opening Tana, meaning the whole presentation of the case, but Beis Shammai as well, Savar Yishchot is saying, you should shecht. You haven't done it yet, and we're giving you advice and saying to shecht. So my problem is that the opening word indicates you've already shechted, but Beis Hillel's advice is don't shecht, implying you have not yet shechted.
So maybe they're two separate thoughts. They're talking about different points in time, and they're not disagreeing.
How would you read the line? Try to read the line. How would that read?
No, it can't.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't start with right.
Right, he's commenting on that.
Yeah.
On
sorry,
that line.
Right, yeah,
right. So this is our problem. Our language doesn't flow. It's sort of like, you know, to put it into something that's English and within our milieu, if you have a set of instructions for how to replace a pipe in your, I don't know, in your sink, so it says, one who has taken out the pipe should then take out the pipe, or should then not take out the pipe, right? Hashochet, someone who has shechted, Beis Hillel says, don't shecht. It doesn't flow.
Actually, I mean, if you almost took them separately, Beis Shammai's concept is, if you've already, tashochet, if you've already done it, this is what you can do.
Yeah.
And then Hillel's saying, and I'm adding words, l'chadchila though, don't do it in the first place.
But I need
words.
So then
the two aren't inconsistent.
I'm missing words to the extent where I would say that you have just as much trouble reading it that way as you do reading it the way we have it. Because it really isn't saying that unless we throw in some wording. It's no longer, according to you, it's no longer machlokes beis Hillel beis Shammai. It's now just two random lines. Beis Hillel was talking about one case, Beis Shammai saw about the other case, and they happen to connect in terms of Kisui Hadam.
Beis Shammai is saying, if you've already done the Shechita,
yeah,
you can dig the dirt. And Hillel is saying, and I know I'm adding words, if you don't have it ready, but you shouldn't have, you know, it's one thing to talk about once you've already shechted, but if you haven't shechted yet, don't.
So would Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, within your read, would they disagree with each other?
Possibly not. Possibly, Beis Hillel would agree. Well, then it says modem, except...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then but... so then it is consistent.
Problem. If they agreed, it would cause another problem, because what are they coming to say?
That's one question. But the other question is, the next line
is
says,
they agree,
and
so
they
it's
agree.
Almost consistent.
And then
no,
they agree in another
because
case.
Now it contradicts what you said, because their agreement shechet. Is if you shechted.
Right.
Then what was your opening line that you said was Beis Shammai? Right? The opening
well,
line.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my case, it's the same. Beis Shammai saying the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, it doesn't read. So, the Gemara says, what am I going to do with this? Halo kasha. That's no problem. This is the way to read it. Lo yishchot v'yachaseh ka'amar. What he was saying was that when Beis Hillel says, don't shecht, what he means is, don't cover the dam. It is where you already shechted. Mm-hmm. It's don't shecht and cover. Mm-hmm. One who shechts, Beis Hillel is saying, should not cover the dam now by going to get dirt. That's the way to read it. Don't get hung up on it, because the Gemara is going to reject it now. Mm-hmm. Don't get too attached to that idea. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa. That doesn't work, because the closing line, the agreement line, says, Umodim, they both agree, She'im Shachat, that if he shechted, She'yachpor Badeker V'yachaseh, that he should dig with a spade and cover it. Which means, Mechlal Dereisha Lav Di'evedu. That must mean that the Reisha is talking about, well, you did not yet shecht. Because the end case where they agree is where you shechted. So that doesn't
maybe,
work.
Maybe the end case is Muchan and the first case is not Muchan. Because that the cryptic word at the end was it's Muchan.
Oh, we're not ready for Muchan yet. Yeah, we got more to see before we're gonna get there. So that was the Gemara's first attempt. There are gonna be three attempts to resolve this. But the first attempt is to reread Beis Hillel so that what Beis Hillel is saying is in fact after the Shechita already took place. Yeah.
What if you look at the difference between Afar and Afer and say that basically there's two separate issues here. One is they're both saying that you're using not a shovel but an instrument that's Shinui and Malacha.
Yeah.
And Beit Shammai is saying that you're actually using dirt that was not Muchan. Yeah. And Beit Hillel is saying you're not taking the spade to take dirt from the ground, but you are taking the spade to take the ashes from the oven.
The problem is, and that's like Shia's idea of, before we even get to what the solution is, the circumstances of the solution don't fit. Mm-hmm. Because you're telling me, the way that we wanted to reread this, the way we wanted to present it, we wanted to say that Hillel's opening line, well, Beis Hillel's initial opening line was after the Shechita has already been done, right? HaShochet we took to mean after the Shechita has already been done. But then Beis Hillel said, don't shecht, which implies that the Shechita has not already taken place. And then the Umodim line is where you already shechted. So if you're going to reinterpret Beis Hillel's don't, right, to
I'm
me.
I'm just adding.
No, not you, the Gemara. Yeah. That was the Gemara's approach. Oh, so you want to provide a different solution to the problem altogether?
No, I'm using the partial solution where it says that what Beis Hillel is saying, Ashochet v'yechaseh. So what he's talking about is,
when
after you've shechted already,
right,
you don't cover.
Right.
Okay. And then he's modim that if you do happen to have a spade handy and you have an oven, you can take the ashes from the oven in order to cover. And that's his mode. So it's, I mean, just using what the Gemara is saying. That
right. One is mukhan and is maldim and not mukhan.
Right, but what are you doing with the word hasho? What are you doing with the beginning?
I'm using that the second time when Beit Hillel is talking,
He's
actually saying hashofei v'yachas. It's one statement. So I'm using exactly what the Gemara is saying.
So when the opening words were really Beis Shammai's words, right?
Right. Hashochet is he shefted.
He shefted already.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And Beis Shammai's answer is dig with a spade and cover it. Yachmor v'dek v'yachaseh.
Along
come Beis Hillel.
Okay. He's saying dig from the ground and cover it with
whatever he's saying. Dig with something. Yeah.
Right.
Beis Hillel comes and says lo yishchot.
So as it says here, lo yishchot v'yachaseh.
Right. So in other words, the shefting already happened.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and what he's saying is, having shefted, don't cover it.
Right.
And
the
then,
way
they,
and
the
way Beis Shammai recommends it to be covered, that's not permissible.
Right.
Okay.
But there could be a way where Beis Shammai, there could be a way that you could sheft and agree with Beis Shammai.
You could do kisui, that you already shefted.
Yeah, that's right. Sheft is done, but what he's saying is, and the latter case is, and you know when I would hold exactly like Beis Shammai, but you don't have to worry about it. You could be yishchot v'yichase. Is when it's eifer from a tanur that's already prepared because it's
interesting. Warm. Interesting. The Gemara is not, in its three solutions, the Gemara is not going to entertain that one. So let's go back to the wording and see why not. Hashochet chayvof biyamto Beis Shammai or yachmor bedekav v'yichase. That's a bidiyeved. So he's going to do this. Beis Hillel says, don't shech, you're saying, don't be mechase.
Right.
Like the Gemara originally suggests.
Unless you had afar muchan, and everybody agrees that if you shechted, you should dig and cover it. How do you explain that?
What is the chiddush?
You still have the problem, right? You still have the problem.
Unless Efer Kira Muchan, who can somehow come and save you.
Right.
That Yachmor V'deker means in an Efer Kira.
Right, that's what this is.
He's saying two separate things. Okay, he's saying he's agreeing that the instrument to cover it has to be a spade. In other words, you can't use a shovel. But he's saying another point altogether, that has to be the ashes, that's Muchan. He's still not agreeing to the brand. Beis Shammai is saying that you can take dirt and cover it, and Beit Hillel is saying you can't.
Then who are the I want to hear what Gerard is saying, but who are the modim in the line Hakol modim?
Beit Hillel is modim to Beit Shammai that it has to be with a spade.
That you could do kisui.
No, but how? But Beit Hillel is the stricter one. When you can't be modim, if you're the stricter one, you aren't modim to a stringency. You are the strict one in the first place. Beit Hillel is stricter than Beit Shammai on this.
Correct.
So therefore, you can't tell me that Beis Hillel's modim is I am modim that you need to use a deker.
No, I'm modim. You could be makel. In other words, that you can do kisui. Just the fashion in which you can do kisui. I'm makel from my normal position. I'm machmer normally that you can't do kisui because you can't do kisui the way Beis Shammai is suggesting you do kisui, which is digging in the ground.
Reads awfully funny. I hear what you're trying to do, but it reads
awfully
funny.
Let's see what the better Terrence of Gemara is. Keep it in the back pocket. See if the Gemara is a better one.
Gerard,
nothing. I don't see the Chiddush the way they're talking about it. What's
okay.
The big thing?
Well, let's see what the Gemara does.
No, Chiddush, it seems like a reasonable way.
It explains the
cryptic statement as well. Could in the end of the mission.
Watch what happens. The cryptic statement at the end of the mission needs its own explanation. We're not even near that. So Amar Rabba, Hachi Ki Amar. Rabba says this is what the way that it should be read. Hashochet Shabali Malech. If the Shochet comes to you to ask, should I shecht? In other words, the word Hashochet is lechatchila now. It's not b'diavad. One who is a shechter, right, so to speak. Someone who is going to shecht.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally a shecht. I don't mean to say the word Shochet like the noun. Right, you have a moal shochet. That's not what I mean. But someone who is going to engage in the act of shechita, and he comes to ask you, "What should I do?" So Kate said, "Omer lo." What do you tell him? Beis Shammai omrim omer lo shchot chafor v'chaseh. Beis Shammai says, "You tell him, shecht, dig, cover."
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's like what he said in the Mishnah. Yachmor bedek v'chaseh, shecht first, then do the digging, and then cover. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, lo yishchot, because now it all fits, that it's proactive. This is before he's done it. So Beis Hillel says, don't shecht. Elim kein hayalo afar muchan mi ba'odiyom. Unless there was dirt that you had available from before Yom Tov. So that's really the, I think, a relatively straightforward read, right? Hashochet, someone who wants to shecht. It's not, the reason why this is weak is only because that's not normally what this means. It is a forced reread. The word hashochet should really mean somebody who is shechting, not somebody who is asking about shechting. But
I mean, this is missing even more words. I mean, it's a shochet chayat of, and yeah. Now you're adding that it's a the shochet is not the act; it's a person came.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's someone who is going to shecht, and he asks you, "What do I do?" We're prescribing for him. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. So Beis Shammai gives one answer. Beis Hillel gives a different answer, and that's the and that's the way to read the Mishnah. That's the approach of Rabbah. Rav Yosef offers a third solution, which is really the same solution. He just changes the order in which you do things according to Beis Shammai. Rav Yosef Amar Hachikya Amar. Rav Yosef says this is the way that it should read. Hashochet shabali himalech, same approach. The shochet comes and asks the question. It's interesting that in one version of this it's limalech, and the other one it's lihimalech. It's just two different Aramaic / Hebrew reads. Limalech is more in Aramaic.
Where does that word come from?
Mem lamed chaf is a very interesting word. Mem lamed chaf has a usage of to ask for advice, to consult. And it is undoubtedly associated with melech as king. Yeah. It's also used to refer to giving advice. So we'll find in the Gemara the line, Amal chinach, I will give you advice. I think that's actually Onkelos, if I remember, in Balak, when at the end of Parshas Balak, Bilam says to Balak, Lecha i'atzecha asher yaseha am hazeh. He says, I'm going to give you advice as to what this nation is going to do. So I believe there the Onkelos is Amal chinach. So, yeah, it's a funny word, mem lamed chaf. It's associated with asking for advice or giving advice.
Nothing to do with salt.
Nothing to do with what?
Salt, no.
No, that would be a ches. So, he says, the hashochet shabali himalech, if the shochet comes to ask, so, keitzad omer lo, what should he say to him? Beishamai omrim, omer lo, lech chafor shchod v'kasei. You see the switch in the order? In Rabbi Yossi's version of it, you tell him dig, then shecht, then cover.
And he doesn't mean dig before Shabbos.
No, this is on Yom Tov. It's all Yom Tov, but yes. If it was Shabbos, there would be no shechita going on.
And that's a machlokes, right? Yeah.
Ubeis Hillel amrim lo yishchot, then Beis Hillel is the same. He says don't shecht, elam kein hayalo afar muchan mibod yom, unless there was dirt ready before Yom Tov. So, of course, the question you have to ask is, why the switch in the order? Why is it that Rabbah presents the order as shecht, dig, cover, and Rav Yosef presents the order as dig, shecht, cover? What is this machlokas about? And the suggestion is, this maybe is linked to a detail of kisui hadam. The mitzvah of kisui hadam, of covering the blood. The simple way that we conceive of this mitzvah is, the blood spills on the ground, and then you cover it with dirt. However, as we're about to see, there's another idea, which is there's dirt on the ground, the blood goes into that dirt, and then you cover it with a second layer. And that's what we'll see right now. Amar le Abaye l'Rabbi Yosef, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Lema mar v'rabba b'derabbi zera amarav k'mifagisu. Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, remember that both Rabbi Yosef and Rabba are Rebbeim of Abaye. He learned from both. But Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, why don't we say that Mar, meaning you, the master, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabba, are debating about a statement of Rabbi Zera quoting Rav. Da'amar Rabbi Zera amar Rav, because Rabbi Zera quoted Rav as saying the following, Hashochet, tzarech sheyitein afer lamata, v'afer lamala. There's another case where Hashochet doesn't mean after you've already shechted, right? It can't. As you see in the line. He says you have to have dirt below the blood and dirt after the blood. It would be quite a trick to shecht and put the dirt down before the blood hits the ground. So dirt below and dirt above. Shenamar, how does he get that? Because the pasuk on this mitzvah of Kisui Hadam says, Vishafach es damo, he shall spill out its blood, v'chisahu be'afar, and he shall cover it in dirt. So it doesn't say afar alone, afar lo namar, it didn't say v'chisahu afar, ela be'afar, cover it in dirt. So he says this means that you have to have dirt below and dirt above, which is consistent with other types of coverings that we have in Torah. Think of the mun, right? We're told that there's a layer of dew below the mun, and then there's the mun, and then there's a layer of dew above, which results in a practice that many have, that they make sure when they have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, not only is it covered on top, but also covered below. It should be on some kind of a tray. You thought the challah tray was just because you're not going to cut on your plate, you know, or on your tablecloth. But actually, you're fulfilling the Zecher Laman by having a covering below and a covering above.
Okay. Then how would Beit Hillel work if that's the halacha? In other words, if we're talking about after the fact, he shafted it, so there's no way there's dirt underneath, then he can't be, you know, say,
no, he told you couldn't shaft.
He said don't shaft.
But if you do shaft,
once you've already shafted, right, you've already blown it. So now, at least, you'll do blood on top. You'll do dirt on top.
Yeah, but it's
but you're saying the person doing shechita is not planning on doing the kisui dam correctly.
Correct. This is somebody who blew it already.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
Or I could theoretically suggest it's where he shafted on dirt that was there.
We're all talking about only the dirt to cover. That's the problem. The
maybe
dirt
there was
dirt dirt's on the ground. There's just covering.
There actually is a discussion about this. I didn't bring it on here, but there's a whole discussion in the Sfas Emes that ties into that question of was there dirt below when he did this shechita. We'll see a little bit of the Sfas Emes, but I didn't bring the whole thing. But Gerard, are you going to say?
No, I agree with him.
Okay. There's also this issue, just thinking about it, this issue of the covering above and below is found in two other places that I'm thinking of. One is by Me Sota, where the water of the Sota, there's a whole discussion about whether the dirt that goes into it, there's supposed to be dirt that's in there as well, goes in before the water.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Or after the water.
Right.
And then also by Para Aduma, in terms of putting the ash into the water or the water into the ash. So there's this whole idea I'm not sure that's connected to this, but it just comes to mind with this discussion. In any case, he says, is that what this debate is about? Demar, we're six lines up from the bottom, Demar Islay de Rabbi Zera, right? Rabbi Yosef does not agree with this idea of Rabbi Zera, does not think there needs to be dirt below. And therefore, his approach, Rabbi Yosef's, the approach of Rabbi Yosef is dig, shecht, and then cover. V'rabba leslay to Rabbi Zera. I'm sorry, you do believe. Demar islay to Rabbi Zera. You do believe with Rabbi Zera. Therefore, you want to dig first, so you'll have dirt below, then shecht, and then cover it up. The Rabba leslay to Rabbi Zera, and Rabba does not believe in that, and therefore he says, no, I want you to shecht first, and then you'll do the digging, because now you need the dirt in order to do the mitzvah. So that, is this really what the debate is? So, to which the answer comes, nice idea, but no. Amar lei, bein ledidi, bein l'rabba, islan de Rabbi Zera. He says, we both agree with Rabbi Zera. There should be dirt below. V'hacha v'hacha mefalginan. Here is the debate that we're having. Rabba savar, I ika afar lamata in ilo lo. Rabba says, if there is dirt below, good. And if not, not. Rabba was the one, again, who made the statement that you shecht first. Meaning if there isn't dirt below, there isn't dirt below. Why? Why does he not worry about having the dirt below? Because he has a different concern. Chayshinan dilma mamlich velo shachit. He's worried that if you tell the guy to dig, and then he digs, and then for whatever reason he says, yeah, I don't want to shecht.
Not a big problem.
Now, he's broken Yom Tov in digging, and for nothing. So therefore, he says, yes, I would like there to be dirt below, but it's more important to me to make sure that the digging is not in vain. So I want him to shecht first, and then let him dig. Ulididi, and as far as my view, Rabbi Yosef says, ha'adifa, I prefer this way, digging first. Why? Because if I don't permit him to do this, if we don't let him do this, the result is going to be that he is not going to shecht. he'll say, you know what? You're not going to let me do the Kisui Adam properly. He says, forget it. I don't need the Shef. And then he won't have Simchas Yom Tov. And that's something that's going to come up repeatedly in this Masechta, is a concern that they have that they want people to have Simchas Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov, of having the meal, and therefore they will have various leniencies to make sure that people will do that. That's the greater concern. Make sure he's going to have a good Yom Tov meal. You follow?
According to the first way, though, that we said, we're worried if he digs first and then he refuses to shech for whatever reason, then he's done for no reason. But he's also not shechted.
If he digs first and he refuses to shecht,
so he's done one avera.
Why?
But he hasn't done the second avera.
Why?
We're in Beis Hillel, he shouldn't have been shechting in the first place.
1 second. If he digs first and he refuses to shecht, he's done the digging wrong. He hasn't shechted.
And he hasn't shechted. Right. Fine. But he hasn't shechted. So he's one way. Either way, he's only transgressed. No, I'm serious. He's only transgressed.
No. Shechting is not. There's no problem with shechting. The problem is the kisui adam afterwards.
Why is Hillel
shechting?
He doesn't want you to sheft because you're going to sheft and not do kisui adam. Yeah. What is emerging here, and this is the Sfas Emes' discussion, if I remember correctly, is the question of just how important is it to have the dirt below,
right? The limud that it's nivlas, mashma nivla, is it a real halacha, or it's only
right. Based on Rabbi, it can't be, because if right. He's saying to shef,
Rabbi for sure.
Right. If you're going to tell me that because you're concerned that he won't shecht, therefore you're going to tell him to shecht first, and there won't be unless you're going to say that in his case there's dirt below, which doesn't really fit.
No, but we're saying that both agree with Rav Zeira at the end that you require.
Yes.
And yet,
he's saying, nonetheless, we want you to shecht first, dig later.
Well, one is concerned about Simchas Yom Tov, and one is concerned that you may not shecht.
Correct, but neither of them is saying, we better make sure there's dirt there first.
In other words, he's not okay. He's not saying that if you don't have dirt below, you're not yotze.
Correct.
He's saying it's just better to have it.
Right.
So now that's what I have to learn, the limud in Rav Zeira.
So they're rejecting Beis Hillel?
I'm sorry?
In some ways they're rejecting Beis Hillel.
Ah, so that was the first place I wanted to go with this. Having understood the sugya, I want to go to that question. Just make sure we understand the sugya first. It was just, we spent a few lines just understanding the case. We established that the case, according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, is someone who has not yet shechted. Beis Hillel is saying, you didn't shecht, don't shecht. Beis Shammai is saying, no, go ahead and shecht. We just have a debate as to what Beis Shammai is recommending. Is he recommending digging first, or is he recommending shechting first? Which goes back to not a discussion of do you need dirt below, which Abaye offered. We reject that idea. Rather, what it's really going back to is the question of which is a greater concern for me, that he's going to dig and then not shecht, or that he's going to back out of Shechita and therefore not have a good Yom Tov meal. Clear? Okay. There are two tangents that I want to discuss on this. The first one is the question that Gerard raised. If you see on your sheet, actually before you even see the sheets, Tosfos is going to ask this question on Daf Tesam and Beis. It's a long Tosfos, but we're not reading the whole Tosfos. Amar of Yochanan. There's a whole discussion there about reversing a shita and what would be reversed and what wouldn't be reversed, and I don't want to get bogged down in the whole discussion there. When we get to that test, there'll be plenty of time. But the one argument that he brings for reversing effectively the discussion that we are having now, one of the points that he raises, let me see if I can find it quickly. Yeah. If you see in the narrow lines, and it's the, if you see where they get wide and you go up from there about 10 lines, the end of the line, or 12 lines, is Vav Ayin Kuf.
Oh, yeah.
The Ode Kasha, he says, I have a further question against what's being proposed. The Im Kain, the Osa de Hashochet Nisharas Bimakoma, if you're going to tell me that we should read our Mishnah the way it looks, meaning that it's Beis Hillel saying what we think Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai saying what Beis Shammai thinks, what we think Beis Shammai is saying. In Kain Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef shakulu v'taru aliba de Beis Shammai. That means that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are sitting and debating within Beis Shammai's view. Right? V'zeh docha gadol. He says that's really difficult. Essentially, what Tosfos is going to argue, based on what happens on Daf Tes, is that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai's views are reversed in this discussion about Kisui Hadam. That's the discussion. That we're not there yet. At the pace we go, we may not be there till Pesach. But nonetheless, Tosfos is bothered, as Gerard was bothered. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are having a debate within a view we don't follow. We follow Beis Hillel. So what is this all about? So I brought you on your sheet two answers from the Ritva. I got incredibly confused this week trying to read this Ritva, and I brought it tonight figuring that I would see whether it was just the painkillers or whether this is actually a problem. I'm off the medicine at this point.
Oh, I thought you were going to share with us. And both be confused.
Yeah, actually in the Rugla. No. So it's source Aleph here. Lema Mar Rabba Rabbi Zeri. He says, Vakashali. I'm bothered, he says. Vehechi pligi Rabba Rabbi Yosef Aliba de Beis Shammai. Delasachasa Kavasayu. He says, how are they debating within Beis Shammai? We don't follow Beis Shammai. Ve'od, hechi shako v'tari talmuda, b'may pligi aliba de Beis Shammai. And not only that, the Gemara goes even further, having a discussion, Abaye has a discussion about, hey, what is the point of distinction between your two views within Beis Shammai? Is it because of Rabbi Zeira's thing? Is it tirei haritva zal? So the first line comes from the Ritva himself. De kedai, this is recorded by the students of the Ritva, that's why it's written this way. So he says, the Ritva answered, he says, the answer is, Beis Shammai is still Beis Shammai. And you can't disrespect them just because we don't paskin like them. It's Torah also. And therefore, we're going to have a discussion to get to understand Beis Shammai. And there are legal issues that relate to what Beis Shammai is discussing. Like, do we follow Rabbi Zera regarding the requirement for Kisui Hadam to have dirt below or not? Right? Out of Abaye's question, theoretically, we could have understood. Excuse me, how we paskin on that issue, right? So therefore, there's a relevance to it. He's actually giving two answers in one. He's saying, number one, Beis Shammai is worth it, and number two, there are practical elements that relate to the discussion. But then you have Ramban who gives another answer. Va'amar Ramban zal, dinafkamina le Beis Hillel. There is an application of this for Beis Hillel. Why? De aliba de rabba de hitzrich shchita kodem chafira, according to rabba, who said, shecht, dig, nimtza de le beis hillel lo hitiru klal shchita. Then when beis hillel says, don't shecht, that means don't shecht at all. Okay, when you're faced with somebody else saying, shecht and dig, and you say, don't shecht, that means nothing. Aval, le Rav Yosef, but according to Rav Yosef, who said that it's dig shecht, Ilu hayalo afar lamata, in a world in which you had dirt below, then shochet beino nimna. So he would say, shecht, and I have no problem. Right? But again, Rabbi Yosef's view, this is where I got him bogged down, but I think it was the painkillers. He says, dig, and then shecht. Rabbi Yosef, right?
According to Beis Hillel, he's talking about now, no?
No. Rabbi Yosef is within Beis Shammai.
Right. So we're still Beis Shammai. Right.
So Rabbi Yosef says, dig, and then shecht. So if you had dirt below, then he would say, shecht. Right? The only reason he wants you to dig first, and then shecht, is he's concerned that the guy will refuse to shecht, because he's going to say, well, I can't do my Kisui Adam properly. But now he will, because he knows he's got dirt below. So then you shecht. Fine. The dibishah shchita shaper kashachid, because at the time of the shchita he's shechting properly. V'chein kasev Rabbeinu Chanan alzal, and so Rabbeinu Chanan as well. So what he would suggest is that within the view of Rav Yosef, if somebody actually had dirt below, even Beis Hillel would agree. If there was dirt below, Beis Hillel would say, okay, I'm fine with it. That's what he's suggesting.
But that's not much from the Lashon and the Mishnah, right?
Well, keep on
reading. It's a bidyevet, right? Like, he still doesn't say yishashach.
What was the language of the Mishnah?
He's coming to ask a shot.
No, but he says, Beis Hillel Amrim lo yishchot, ela im kein hayalo afar muchan mi ba'od yom. So that's what he's going to apply to that. He had dirt ready. I'm still not 100% glad on this Ramban, but I want to make sure to see the second point also. So this is his answer. His answer is there is an application, in fact, for Beis Hillel too, which is seen in the answer given by Rabbi Yosef. That's the idea.
Is he saying it's an application, or that they're actually talking about the latter part, and this is only applying to Beit Hillel?
No, it's also Beit Shammai. He's talking about Beit Shammai. The prescription that Rabbi Yosef gives, saying dig shaft cover, is Beit Shammai. But an outgrowth of saying that that's Beit Shammai's point of view is also saying that the reason for the point of view is we're concerned he won't sheft if you don't let him dig first. And what he's trying to do is fit that into Beit Hillel also. And saying that, therefore, in the event that there was dirt already there on the ground, Beit Hillel would be good with it. My problem with this is I still think there's a leap here. There's a leap going on here. Maybe it's because I don't understand Beit Hillel yet.
Well, he's defining what he's saying there has to be the underneath dirt, right? Not the top dirt, right?
Yes.
But then it says...
Then I'll have to dig to get the top dirt.
Yichasesh upper kir muchanu. But the second thing seems to say that it's the top thing, really, not the bottom.
Right. We don't know what Efer Kira Muchanhu means yet.
Okay.
We're not there yet. I want to hold maybe this end of this Ritva until we've seen Beis Hillel better, because I'm not sure I get the fit with Beis Hillel either, and I want to see it in the context of Beis Hillel. So let me hold off on that answer. But the other point that's important to recognize here is the issue of eliminating a mitzvah's assay. And I'll explain what I mean, but let me talk about this before we get to the case at hand. This issue comes up in areas of halacha. It comes up, Rosh Hashanah is coming up, so it comes up there, of whether the Chachamim have the ability to create a gezerah that will prevent people from fulfilling a mitzvah asay de'oraisa, a biblical mitzvah. Can the Chachamim do that? So how does it come up for Rosh Hashanah?
Shofar
on Shabbos. Right? The Chachamim say, we don't want you blowing the shofar on Shabbos, which is Rosh Hashanah, because you might transport it through a public domain. So therefore, we're telling you, don't blow shofar. Well, that's great. You just cancel the biblical mitzvah for the year. Right? Because the second day isn't going to be your De'oraisa. Whatever we understand the second day of Rosh Hashanah to be, and we spend a lot of time discussing that, it's not the De'oraisa day. So, take a look at the Magen Avraham in source base, who is indeed troubled by this and offers an explanation of what they can and cannot do. He says, "Ein token." He's commenting on the line of the Shulchan Aruch that says not to blow. Apa pi shetkia shavus. Even though blowing shofar is only a violation of a derabanan, v'yavo asei shel Torah v'yidche shavus shel divrayim, and the biblical mitzvah should override the derabanan.
So why is it? It's not the tkia that shavus.
Well, no, the prohibition against tkiah is what he means. It's violation of Eishvus. Yeah. Still, he says, Mikomakom gezera shema yavirenu dalet amos birshus harabim. We still have this gezera, lest you transport it. So, Hiksha, I don't know if this is the Maharam Padua or somebody else. In his notes on the Rambam, I think it is the Maharam Padua. He says, Dehadit kia shavus nami gezera shema yitakein klei shir. Maram asked a question. He says, isn't there another reason why shofar should be usher? Right? Isn't there a concern? It's a musical instrument. And should we not worry that if you let people blow shofar on Yom Tov, then they're going to come to fix their musical instrument? Why is that not an issue? The imkain, and if so, neima da aser mishum haigzera. We should say that it's aser because of that concern. Ve'amidu divrei b'makom asay, and therefore the rabbanon should say we don't want you to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Why didn't I give that as my reason? The answer is, what would be the result if you did that? What would be the result?
You're allowed to be misakin kli on the Yom Tov too.
You're not allowed.
Not allowed. So you would never blow shofar.
You would never blow shofar.
So it'd be a big problem. Right. So it's being impossible.
If you said, if you rule, if you prohibited it as musical instruments,
so it must be,
you would, you would knock out shofar. So he says, and this is the key point, v'tireis. Dehai gezera lo gazru b'tkia shofar. They didn't make this decree for shofar. De'im ken lo yitzke ula olam, because then they would never blow shofar. And degam b'yom tov shayach shema yitakein. It applies to yom tov also. V'nimtza sheyakru mitzvah sasei min hatara. You would uproot it to oraisa. The other one is only a Shabbos concern, and therefore it's okay, because they didn't ban shofar forever. So the Rabbanan do have the ability to prevent you from fulfilling a de'oraisa, but only if the de'oraisa will remain intact in other situations.
Except that.
Yeah.
What's the way Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah can only come out, Shabbos can only be the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Correct.
Days. And
so that year,
we're mevatel anyway to the raisa, because when we're mevatel it on the first day, the second day is not at the raisa anymore. So
right.
You're back. So it's,
but it's just
problematic.
It's just for that year. It's not a permanent.
He's more. He's more concerned with mevatel shofar completely.
Correct.
It doesn't mean dafkir the raisa. It means you'll be mevatel the whole mitzvah shofar. There's some mitzvah rabbanim.
Correct. The but that's or he's concerned about banning it serially across the years. The other popular case in which this comes up is the discussion about burning chametz on Erev Pesach. The mitzvah of burning the chametz kicks in at midday. We burn our chametz early because of concern that you don't get the time right and you wait and now you're holding on to chametz. But what we've done, potentially, is we have eliminated the mitzvah, the oraisa, of getting rid of our chametz. And not just one year, but every year. Take a look at the Minchas Chinuch on this in Source Gimel. HaTorah kava zman laha mitzvah. The Torah set the time for this mitzvah of destroying the chametz. V'chalhecha de HaTorah kava zman laha mitzvah tzrichin davka lasos hamitzvah lizman shakava HaTorah. When the Torah says this is the time for the mitzvah, so you have to do the mitzvah at the time the Torah set. V'lefnei zman elokim hamitzvah. You do it early, you haven't fulfilled it. In Cain, the Hatara covers man lahashbis chametz chatzos yud dalid hamitzvah davka b'shoazu. So if the Torah says midday on the 14th, that's when the mitzvah is. And then he goes into a discussion between Rashi and the Rambam and Tosos, which I'm going to skip in the interest of time. The outgrowth of it is, if you see midway down towards the end of the line, ulafize kashalila tosfos. Okay, he says, his question is really principally against Tosfos, because the discussion is the mitzvah of destroying chametz to make sure you don't have any chametz? And therefore, if you finished your chametz a week ago, you have fulfilled the mitzvah? Or is the mitzvah to actually destroy some chametz? So he says, within the view of Tosfos, that the mitzvah is an active mitzvah, kevin gachal al adam chiv mitzvah b'chatzos hayom, since the mitzvah is incumbent on the person at midday, in kein mitzvah alav shiyelo chametz v'yavaro b'chatzos, the mitzvah is to have chametz and destroy the chatzos midday. K'mosha adam mitzvah liknos talis bas dalet, just like I have a mitzvah of get a four-cornered garment, I think. In kein heyach tiknu chazal lisrof b'tchilas sheish. So how do they say?
Hold on, I have a mitzvah to get a four-cornered garment?
Yeah, just wait. So he says, then how did they enact to burn chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour? Who gave them the right to say, well, we're creating a barrier, and therefore now no one is ever going to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa? So he goes on for a while. I jumped a little bit. He says, maybe, where it's a mitzvah that is obligatory, you have a mitzvah of get up and do this, then they can't uproot it entirely, like the case of shofar. But if it's like tzitzis, I told you to wait, Shai, there you go. If you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you have no obligation to put strings on anything. He says, in a similar way, let's say they had some reason to decree that people shouldn't wear four-cornered garments. Something came up. So he says, they could do that. They would be able to do that. He says, they can't tell you to violate an asay, But they can put you in neutral territory where you have not violated it, you just haven't fulfilled it.
The distinction between mitzvah chiyuvos and mitzvah kiyumos.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
So Moshe held, like, moving to Eretz Yisrael, for example, or
so
the requirement to move to Eretz
Yisrael. Am I getting into people's personal situations? In case, if so, kan akru mishum siyag kiyum ha-mitzvah avalolavro ha-mitzvah. So he says that's what they did here. They uprooted it as a siyag because you don't have, he is suggesting, you don't have a mitzvah of get out and actually buy chametz, even within the view that I was ascribing to Rabbeinu Tam before. No one is going to tell me that if I have no chametz on Erev Pesach, there's a mitzvah of go out and buy white bread so that you can now burn it.
I accept that one, but...
But would you make, if you do bedikas chametz and you make the bracha, then aren't you stuck? Let's say the chametz gets lost. Let's say...
So it depends on how I understand what the bracha is. Is it
right.
The process of making sure I don't have chametz, or is it on active destruction? We generally assume that it's the former.
I have trouble with the connection, though, or lack of connection between tzitzis on one hand. If you're not wearing a baget that has four corners, mm-hmm. there is no obligation.
Right.
But versus tekiah,
oh, he's saying tekiah is different.
Yeah,
that's exactly his point.
Oh,
his point. The shofar you can't eliminate. Exactly, and that's
so
why...
So he's still asking the question, how they can put up that gezerah.
Right, but the answer is, it's not a permanent gezerah, it's only going to be that in
for
some years, there'll be... Yeah, that would be his idea on that. But now we come around to the question here, in terms of what we're doing in our case. The Ramah rules in Yeridaya that one who, I didn't bring it on here, but it's Yeridaya Chavches, Chavches Chafalef, that one who doesn't have dirt is allowed to do the following. He can, nothing to do with Yom Tov, just in general. You need to shecht in order to be able to have meat, and you have no dirt available. So he says, catch the blood in your clothing, and then scrape it off and bury it later. Yeah, I'm not sure everybody wants to do that, but that's the idea. If you're a shochet already, you probably have
something.
Yeah,
it's
hitting on the
apron.
Can you imagine
all over you anyway?
A high of deer, you know how much blood would come out?
So the question that we have to ask is, why not prescribe that here? Why not give that prescription in our case? Why are you giving me this approach
right.
that ends up effectively being mevatel and asei? Take a look at the Sfas Emes in Source Dalet. Big Gemara. Rabba Svirulei Yi'ika Afar In Ilo Lo Dilma Mimlech etc. He says, partially, this is difficult for me. Da Kasva Poskim B'Shem HaGa'onim V'Huva B'Beis Yosef V'Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. This is that Ramah that I quoted. D'mishaholich b'midbar, you're in the wilderness. Ve'en lo b'melech hasos. I don't know what kind of wilderness it is.
I can tell you what. It's they're going and finding the Franklin ship, and it's tundra. Total ice.
So he says, mavli hadam b'chsuso. So he says, you catch the dam in the garment. Ukshemotze afar, machabe sabeged motze hadam v'chaseyu. Yeah.
But there, Lochera, I mean, how can you make that comparison? And that seems to be such a drastic case where he needs Uncle Nefesh, probably. He's gonna die. I mean, he's not...
No. If it was, then no one would be wearing Kisui Adam. Yeah.
Well, unless he's telling you, no, you still have to worry about Kisui Adam. If you're going to Shechter already, you still have to worry about Kisui Adam.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you?
Because the line of question of it isn't like that.
But
the lack of blood below does not prevent Shechita.
Offer below.
Yeah. What did I say?
Blood.
Okay. The imkain gam hacha yachol lishchot ve'achkach yikach adam v'yitnenu besocha offer. So let him do the shechita, and then let him take the dam and let him put it in the dust and be done with it.
Why does he even have to take the dam? In the case that there is offer but it's not being hamuchan, and if the kisui dam is not ma'akev, if you can eat the meat, why can't you just shecht it, leave the blood on the ground, and then cover it after Yom Tov?
Well, that's basically his question. Because he's
yeah,
that's basically the same question. Because he says if he was in the midbar, he had an Eitzah.
Yeah. So he says, V'lechara haya nira od l'fiyani yazdaiti, de'be'emes lo matzin mefurish b'gemara, de'hecha de'ein lo afar l'chasos, yia asur lo lishchot. He says, I'm going to make matters worse. He says, I have a bigger problem. He says, The Gemara never says that you can't shecht if you don't have the ability to do kisui hadam. It's not as though this is one mitzvah. Shechita with Kisui Hadam, and Shechita is invalid if you don't do Kisui Hadam. They're two separate mitzvahs. So he says, Diyesh Lomar, Dechashiv Ones, V'atara lo Asra Shechita. Rak the mitzvah says, Lachasos. You could say that it's an Ones situation in terms of Kisui Hadam, separate from the Shechita. You do your Shechita, and then you're in a situation where you don't have dirt, so you can't do Kisui Hadam.
But the classic Ones is you don't put yourself in the Ones. It's his action that puts himself in the Ones. A typical Ones is not that.
But it's an entirely different event.
Okay, that's something else, but I'm not sure why he has to connect it to Ones. I mean, you say it's... That's not what a classic onus is. An onus is if you're culpable, you know, you're contributing to the negligence.
All the discussions that we have, right, regarding, I mean, this goes back to mitzvah chiyuvis, mitzvah kiyumis, but let's say you had a person who takes a business trip on Chol HaMoed, and it's Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and everybody doesn't have a sukkah. And you say, okay, so he's pater min sukkah. Who told you to take the business trip? He says, it was a tzorech.
Right.
It was a tzorech. Okay. So you had a tzorech, not for me.
Okay.
It's a yontif meal we're talking about.
Right.
Where'd you get this idea from that if you can't do Kisei Adam, you can't do Shechita? He says the Shulchan Aruch did use the language of don't shecht. But where did they get it from? That came from the Rashba. Shehevi Raya Meha da Asur Lishchot Koi Beyomtov. The Gemara we're going to see, we didn't get there yet, talks about the creature that's called a koi. A koi is of uncertain status in terms of whether it's a chaya or a behema.
It's not a goldfish, right?
No. The different koi.
Different koi.
One continent. But the. Well, same continent. But anyway. But the koi, if it's a chaya, requires Kisui Hadam. If it's a behema, it doesn't. So on Yom Tov, when covering the blood is a problem, right? So then we're going to say, don't shecht a koi, because then you only have a doubt about whether you need to cover it or not, and now you're stuck. That wouldn't justify doing Kisui Hadam on Yom Tov. You'll see it in the Gemara. But his point is...
Except Beit Hillel says you can't... I mean, he's making a statement, and that's based on Beit Shammai. Because Beit Hillel is saying that you can't.
Right. This is our problem. Our problem is that this is a challenge to Beit Hillel. So he says the you're not allowed to shecht the koi because you can't do kisui adam. Yishub dasa l'chasas as demo. V'gam b'sugya d'hacha d'lo yishchot elam ken yesh lo afar muchan. And also our sugya says don't shecht unless you have dirt available. So the Rashba looks at our sugya and says our sugya is proof that you can't shecht unless you can do kisui adam, because otherwise why are we having this conversation? So Sfas Emma says, but that's not a proof. He says, that's not an adequate proof. Why? Even if you're going to say that where he doesn't have dirt, he's allowed to shecht. Okay? Even if you were to say that where he lacks dirt, he's able to do the shechita, and you're going to take that view. Here, it would still be different. Because biblically, he could do the Kisui Adam, because we're going to assume, we haven't seen this yet, that there is a spade stuck into the ground, such that pulling it up will already produce the dirt without you having to dig. He is not covering the dam. He is refusing to cover the dam. And therefore, he is nullifying a mitzvah asay. This is backwards. It's like, you know, right hand, left ear. Okay, so hang in there for a second, then it'll all become clear. So even though the Chachamim wanted to say, don't cover the dam, they did not want to be mevatel the asay. Rak amru shelo yishchod mehaytaim agufei kidei shelo yiu mevatlin davar min haTorah. All right, let me explain this, because this is confusing. What he's saying is this. You want to know why they told you not to shecht? Not because you can't shecht. The truth of the matter is, you can shecht, and then when you're stuck without dirt, then you don't do the Kisui Adam. That's just the way it goes. And maybe you have this solution of the Rama about the, you know, with the guy traveling in the wilderness and catching the dam in his clothing. Fine. That's true. However, in our case, there actually is a spade stuck into the ground. We didn't see that yet. We'll see on the top of Daf Ches. And therefore, biblically, he could actually do this. He could pull up the spade, have dirt, and cover the dam. The only reason he can't is because of a derabanan involved there, which we haven't seen yet. Okay? It's a derabanan that is keeping him from doing that. So the Chachamim know that if he does the Shechita, then they are going to have to stop him from doing Kisui Hadam. They're going to be Mevatel and Mitzvah Saseh. And so what they say is don't Shecht. Because if you Shecht, then we're going to be in the position of doing what we want to avoid doing. We're going to be in the position of banning a Mitzvah Saseh. So therefore we're telling you don't Shecht because you're putting us on the spot.
And would the Chachamim have a right, based on what we learned before?
No.
Would the Chachamim have a right to be Mevatel and
No.
Right? No.
Because this is a chiyuv.
This is a
mitzvah and they'd be banning it forever.
Right. And you're going to ban it. Well, forever.
Anytime someone does shechita
on the yacht, in this type of scenario, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it fits all the category we had before.
Yeah.
Of when you.
That's what the Sfas Emes is saying. He's saying, really, this is his argument against the Rashba. The Rashba thinks that we are banning doing this because you're not allowed to shecht unless you could do kisui hadam. And that leads the Shulchan Aruch to believe that. And the Sfas Emes says, that may be true, but it's not from here. Because I will argue that the reason why they're telling you don't shecht here is completely different. The reason they're telling you not to shecht is because they want to make sure that you don't put them in the position of banning a de'oraisa. Because there is a mitzvah to perform of kisui hadam, and only the Rabbanan will be stopping you from doing it.
So you have different categories. You have Shavuot Taseh, right? For something that's not forever, mm-hmm. right? Then you have forever, we will not be vata, right? And then you have a Chachamim, right? Who, the Chachamim...
Well, they're telling you here, don't do a different action.
What,
that will
leave what do you mean, don't put me in a position where you have to ban it? Right? The Chachamim, didn't we determine the Chachamim couldn't ban in such a case? So what do you mean, us in a position not to ban? This is one of the classic cases where they can't ban it.
Right.
It's not like Shofar.
Right. So they're saying we're going to be stuck. So we're going to be.
That's
why
they can't do Shofar. I'll toss it on this.
You're going to force us what?
To either ban it in
a. No, but they can't. But they're not allowed to. We just went through a way.
Or to let you do this to our boss.
Let
right.
you do it. So let us do it, and we're back in a good place.
Right. So that's the question to the Sfas Emes then. So yeah, the Sfas Emes. So why wasn't the answer let him shech and then let him do this? Mm.
Right.
An interesting question.
Yeah, because we just said that
right.
this is a place where the Chachamim wouldn't make a ban, particularly
right.
not. Then we brought right from Shofar.
Right.
Then where they could, where they wouldn't, where they wouldn't.
All right. Good.
Okay.
We got it?